The everlasting covenant. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7. There is no greater covenant in Scripture than the covenant which God made with Abraham. There are aspects of that covenant which affect Abraham personally, and the seed, the natural seed that would come after him, that he would be great, that a numerous people would spring from him, and that even kings would proceed from him. The possession of Palestine was an aspect which promised unconditional blessing to the nation Israel, of which he was the father and the founder. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations. There were blessings in that covenant as belonged to Abraham's natural seed, Israel. As such, God confirmed them, and these blessings were to be enjoyed by them in successive generations. And this was an everlasting covenant with Israel, with Abraham's seed. That is, as long as they should continue in the true worship of God, or until Messiah came, in whom the covenant of circumcision, which followed, had its accomplishment and was at an end. And the promise was that God would be a God unto them, unto thee, and thy seed after thee. First of all, to his natural seed, as the God of nature and providence, communicating the good things of life to them, protecting, preserving, and continuing them in the land he gave them, as long as they were obedient to him as their king and their God. But there was an aspect in this promise which was universal, that which promised blessing to all the families of the earth. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. This was a promise to Abraham's spiritual seed. And this to them was an everlasting covenant. It had respect to the spiritual blessings, which are everlasting, and which were never to be taken away or become void. And God was to be to this spiritual seed as the God of all grace, supplying them with grace here and bestowing upon them glory in the world to come. When God counted Abraham righteous or justified while he was still a Gentile, it was because he believed God. Genesis 15, verse 6, and Romans 4, and verse 3. His faith rested solely upon two promises given him by God. The first was that a particular seed would spring from him. That is, a natural seed, Israel. The second, that a spiritual seed would arise, composed of those of like precious faith, who would be as the stars of heaven for multitude. Genesis 15, verse 5. Paul interprets the particular seed as Christ. To thy seed, which is Christ. Galatians 3:16. And the promise that in him all the families of the world would be blessed, as they which are of faith, Galatians 3:7, that is, those who would believe God concerning his son, as Abraham himself believed. John 8 and verse 56. Leaving aside those aspects of the covenant which have to do with Abraham personally, that is, with Israel as a nation, we think of that aspect which has to do with Abraham's spiritual seed. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Galatians 3 and verse 8. Now remember, there is such a thing as the covenant of works. In the course of time, the nation called Israel sprang from the loins of Abraham. This nation was his natural seed. With Moses as the mediator, God made a covenant with this nation, but a covenant of an entirely different nature to that made with Abraham. It was a covenant with conditional promises, which rested upon Israel's obedience to the law given Moses. The promise of life was conditioned upon their works, which would have to be absolute in faithfulness. Three times over, the nation swore to obey. All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. But an imperfect people cannot keep a perfect law. The covenant, therefore, was soon trampled underfoot. Thus the promises made by God were forfeited. Since the covenant was so violated, Paul concludes most justly that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 2 and 16. But there is a covenant of grace, and that is the emphasis on this word in Genesis 17 and verse 7. The covenant of grace is not made with sinful men, but rests solely upon God's sovereign will. It was the essence of the covenant made to Abraham and centered in the promised seed, Christ, the Son of God. In this covenant, which is called a better covenant, in relation to the covenant of works, Hebrews 8 and verse 6, God's beloved Son assumes responsibility for the terms and promises given in that covenant. For God to be God of any of Adam's race, the people must be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. The Son of God assumed responsibility for this, and thus he himself is the essence of the covenant. Isaiah 42 and verse 6. He is the essence, the reality, the fullness of it. He is the beginning and the end of it. He is the foundation and edifice of it. Believing in him and his atoning work, all our sins are dealt with, all guilt removed, reconciliation with God is effected, peace is established, and the way into the holiest opened, so that heaven is assured. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Hebrews 7 verse 22. He is surety for the Father and surety for his believing people. By his sacrifice, he releases the boundless blessings promised by the Father. Nothing can be withheld from those who believe. All must be given. In his saving of us, and his sanctifying of us through the process of time, he will present us to the Father, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing. Ephesians 5, 27. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, Hebrews 12, 24. He stands between man and God. He is one with God and one with man. union with God is eternally effected in him. Therefore, we have the promise of the Father, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Psalm 89 and verse 34. And hear the words of George Keith. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy trouble to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no, never forsake. Amen.